find, Farrowing can find one of these in the worst books. The old accounts. 94. The old account. We need some echo parts, people, on the chorus. Long ago, down on my knees, long ago, I sawed it off. And that's the old account was settled long ago. Hallelujah. So those three things in the parentheses, you got to shout them out, okay? You want to be echo? Okay, anyone else want to be echo? Echo, 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 echo. Okay, anyone else want to be an echo part? Okay, let's sing it out. Let's all stand together, if you're physically able to, as we sing praise to God tonight. The old account. '94 in the chorus book. There was a time on earth when in the book of men an old account was standing for sins yet unforgiven. My name was at the top and many things below. I went unto the keeper and found it long ago. Long ago. Long ago. Yes, the old account was settled. Records clear today, for he washed my sins away, and the old account was settled long ago. Second verse. When in that happy home, my Savior's home above, I'll sing redemption's glory and praise him for his love. I'll not forget that vault with pages white and snow, because I came and settled. Share, when did you settle that that old account of your sins? When did you get them all forgiven by Jesus? You'd like to share that? Yes, John.
I was 5 years old. It was summer of 1970. I was on East Vernon Avenue here in Northfield.
Amen.
At home with Bonnie and Edward Brower. Mrs. Brower held 5-day clubs every summer. And in our neighborhood back then, it's just what you did, you went there.
Amen.
There was only one kid in the neighborhood that his mother wanted him to go. But other than that, everybody wanted to go.
Amen.
You'll find that today.
Amen. So what did you ask the Lord to do for you?
I asked the Lord to save me from my sins.
Amen. And did he do it?
Yes, he did. Absolutely.
Amen. Anyone else want to share? When did you trust the Lord as your Savior? Elizabeth? Okay, and what'd you ask Jesus to do for you?
Save us.
Save us or save you?
Save us.
Well, did save you or save all of us?
Save all of us?
No, what did you, he can't save all of us, he has to save us individually. So what'd you ask him to do for you?
Save me.
Did you ask him to save you?
Yeah.
And did he do that?
Yeah.
All right, good. Sarah.
This summer I got saved, and I think when we had the week of,
VBT.
It was me, Serenity, and my old best friend, Gian, and we went into the thing, and we all took turns praying, and we asked the Lord to save each of us. So, like, I asked the Lord to save myself, and they asked the Lord to save themselves. You know, It was my birthday that day, you know?
Wow, that's pretty cool. So you have the same birthday. You have a physical birthday and a spiritual birthday on the same day.
My birthday is December 19th.
Oh, okay. But that was your spiritual birthday.
The teacher said that was our birthday.
Your spiritual birthday.
Yeah.
Yep, pretty neat. All right, let us bow together in prayer as we begin. I'm going to ask Brother John, would you open us in prayer?
Dear great Heavenly Father, we come before you today. We thank you and praise you for giving us your word in the English language that we can read it for ourselves, Lord. Father,
amen.
We thank you and praise you for sending your son Jesus to die on that cross of Calvary.
Amen.
We ask that you be with the service of tonight, Lord, as we open up your word, and your Holy Spirit will guide the pastor in bringing us the message that you have for this congregation. Lord, pray that our hearts and our minds be open to hearing that message.
Amen.
And your spirit be able to work within our hearts, Lord, and guide us into that understanding that you have, that we need. And for each one of us, what we need to understand may be a little bit different. You know what it is, Lord. We ask that your spirit will guide each and every one of us. We ask also that if anybody hears tonight that's not saved, they'll hear the message tonight, and they'll make that decision for Christ that is so necessary. Thank you for all these many things, Lord, and we ask these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. We want to direct your attention to our bulletin. Does anyone need a bulletin? We're happy to get one to you. All right.
I can have some help.
Okay, Tim, you want to help out? Okay, we have a couple over here. All right, anyone else need a bulletin? It says, "Be ye holy," 1 Peter 1:15. Just by way of announcements, we have our, we're going out soul winning this Saturday. This Friday. We're changing it to Friday at 3 p.m. If you'd like to go out soul winning Friday, meet us here at 3 p.m. Then we have our safety recognition day for police officers, fire departments, and EMTs in Atlantic County. If you know any of them, if you have neighbors who are police or fire or EMTs, they work on the ambulance, please give them a letter. We want to give you a letter to give to them to invite them to church that day, March 10th, Sunday, March 10th at 10:45 in the morning, because we're going to have a special award for them. Would you like some of those letters? Or no?
No,
you were going to say
sure.
Something. Sure, go ahead.
So I have a police station, to give them the
letter. Yeah. Good, that's wonderful.
All the things that's going on in my life, I need to go to church.
Amen. The Lord put you in the right place at the right time, and you were available. Amen. The Lord sends us as missionaries everywhere we go. Sometimes we don't even see it, and so we miss the opportunity. But we've got to be always ready with tracts or speak up to the Lord, for the Lord about our church. Amen. Anyone need any of those letters to give to any fire, police, or EMTs that you know? Does anybody need any of them?
So
we can give you. Do you know any police or fire or EMTs? Okay. All right, Paul, can you, and Darnell, can you hand out? Just tell us how many letters you'd like, one or two, and we'll get. All right, so if you know two police officers, two fire department, and you'll see them in the next week or so, get one for each of them. Okay, so Darnell and Paul are coming around. Just tell them how many you need. All right, so we'll make many more. So we're going to give them a very special award, and we're going to give them the gospel. So what's better than that? There's nothing better than the gospel message. If they're not saved, they need to trust the Lord. All right, just by way of other announcements, we're getting ready for Master Clubs. It's already a month away, March 30th is the regionals competition. How many are in 3rd through 6th grade? In Master Clubs, 3rd through 6th grade, okay? We're getting you guys all ready, because in a month, mark it on your calendar, okay? Make sure you tell your mom and dad, don't schedule anything on March 30th. That's regionals. We're going to meet here at the church at about 7:30 in the morning and go to, it's right outside of Philly, right up in Pennsylvania, about an hour and a half away. We're going to go right up there. Have a great day together. We're going to eat lunch together. We're going to do your different competitions, and you may very well come home with a nice medal or ribbon to hang up on your wall. Really nice, beautiful rosette ribbons with all fancy. So that's what you're trying to earn, or a medal. So come on out and plan that. So make sure you set aside March 30th and tell your parents so they don't schedule something else that day. All right, so Mrs. Gibson will be getting ready for that. Pray for the Slepidises. They are getting ready to go tomorrow to North Carolina. Pray also for Patty Campbell, as she is hurting tonight. All right, any other announcements that need to be mentioned? That was wrong. Fever at 101.8. So let's keep Patty in prayer. This time we'll ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord this evening of our tithes and offerings to God. All right. Was Mrs. Farrell able to make it tonight? No. Oh, okay, for her birthday. Okay. Oh, we were getting ready to have a party for her tonight. All right, this time we'll ask our ushers to come. We still have snacks tonight. If you're good, you have to behave, okay? If you don't behave, if Mrs. Gibson has to call you out for anything, you don't get a snack tonight, okay? Let us bow together in prayer.
Dear Father, thank you for staying. You've given us such a few, Lord, and bless this offering you're about to receive. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Are there any prayer requests or answers to prayer before we dismiss tonight? Okay, prayer requests or answers to prayer. Go ahead, Sarah.
A prayer request.
Okay.
I would like you to pray for my teacher, Ms. Simpson, and that she loses her two kidney stones in her back, and that she's not, and that she's more understanding and doesn't tell everybody's business. And please help me not to, you know, be disrespectful and get in trouble again. And me not to get mad at her.
All right. Most importantly, if she's not saved, she doesn't know the Lord yet. So pray for her salvation, too. All right. Anyone else? Serenity?
Oh, Serenity.
Okay.
I would like you to pray for Sahara so she doesn't get in trouble in school all the time.
Okay. All right. And you can help her, Serenity. Keep her calmed and focused. All right. That's what Christian friends are for.
Okay.
All right. And how about let's do some answers to prayer or blessings. Let's see how Atlantic went today. How did Atlantic go?
Atlantic went very well today. We had a good group, a large group. A couple of our regulars couldn't be there due to doctor's appointments or what have you. But even without those regulars, we had 15 or 16, and they were very interactive with us, and it was a good time. We had one new lady named Karen, and I believe she accepted the Lord today.
Yes.
Pastor talked to her after the service. And I talked with the one I told you about last week, Corinne. Anyway, she is actually interested in coming to church, as I think Karen is as well. So we're trying to work out the bus route so that that is a possibility. The lady that I talked to had raised her hand during the invitation for salvation, but then she told me later she had been saved a long time ago, and she thought maybe she needed to be again. I said, no, you don't need to be, but we went over some of the scriptures to make her realize that she has assurance.
Amen. All right, and how did MetaView go today? I was there with Mrs. Hodge, and we had a good time. There was quite a few in the room as well, and so I think we had two new people, and one of the ladies who got saved on Sunday, I saw her go by, but her daughter was taking her out of church, so, but anyway, she got saved on Sunday, but anyway, the ones that were there very much enjoyed it. So praise the Lord for a good service at Meadowview. All right, any other blessings to share? Elsie?
That my dog had babies.
Oh, your dog did have babies? Okay, all right. How many puppies?
Seven
puppies, okay. All right. All right, any other blessings to share? Answers to prayer? Darielle?
I pray for my friend because he fell off a tree and hit his head and then he had to go to the hospital.
Ouch. When was that, today? No? Okay. All right, so let's pray for your friend. What's his name?
Kali.
Okay. Anyone else? Sarah?
I pray for my child, Nellie. She's not actually my child. That's what I call her. Because she went off the bus crying because all the kids were talking about this creepy thing called Momo.
Oh.
And she started crying on the bus and Serenity started burst out laughing. Oh. It was really sad. And I also have a prayer. I have an answer to a prayer. You know, I came to church. I wasn't going to come today, but I came.
Amen. You didn't let the devil try to discourage you from coming.
I wasn't going to go because, like, I haven't been feeling good and, like, I was going to miss school and everything. But I was like, you know, I don't want to stay here because my mom said I had to go to bed. And I was like, I'm not doing that.
Okay.
I'm going to church.
All right, speaking of the Momo thing, kids, if, you know, that is something to stay far away from.
It is fake.
Okay, and it's fake. So, but they try to put bad thoughts in children's heads. Don't listen to anybody who's trying to put bad thoughts into your head. Okay? So stay far away from that stuff. All right. At this time, are there any other adults with prayer requests? We're going to leave it for the adults. Maria?
I would like Jesse, please, to pray for Sunny because he has a girlfriend.
Okay.
So her name is Patricia. So
all right.
Jesse, for you guys help me pray for something work out because he's getting too old.
He's getting too old. All right. All right. Let's pray for.
And pray for Joyce. I'm back in the church.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Let's pray for Sammy and Patricia.
Sammy and Patricia.
Joey. All right. Anyone else? Adults have prayer requests? Yes, Carol.
I won't go into the details, but we had an unexpected event this afternoon that lasted a couple of hours with regard to Roy. It's got me a bit concerned. So if we could just pray about it. A nurse came. It was a male nurse. He spent quite a bit of time with us. But we need to pray about what's next, I guess is the best way. Plus for his carotid artery test coming up probably tomorrow, but now I'm not sure.
All right, let's pray for Roy. This episode and also his carotid artery test. All right, any other adults have anything? Mr. Hodge. Okay, let's pray for Esther's cold. And also Patty, who has a fever, as we mentioned earlier. And so she can't get chemo with a fever. All right, anyone else? John? Yes, we mentioned them earlier. Pray for them as they travel tomorrow. Becca is better, so they are able to go. All right, anyone else? That's it. Okay, all right. Elizabeth? Okay, all right. Okay. This time, we'll go ahead and break up into our groups. Master Club's going with Mrs. Gibson. And do you need a helper tonight? Okay, Miss
doing the lesson tonight.
Okay, Miss Pat's going to be there with you. Okay. All right, and Mr. Hodge, to the teens. Where are they going? Are they staying here? Are they going? Okay, Mr. Hodge. The teens are going to go with Mr. Hodge. And if we can report at 20 after 7, we'll have a shorter one. Kids can report shorter one. And the teens. Pray also for Dylan. We haven't seen him in a little bit. Pray for Dylan. And then also the other visitors that have been coming lately. Dawn, the new lady Dawn, to come back. And I'm trying to think who else. Who else has come, but then we haven't seen.
Over here, the new couple. That you're talking about?
Joe and Nicole, they've been coming every Sunday. But there's another lady named Dawn who visited last Sunday. Pray for her to come back. John, maybe if you have time, you and I can go visit her. And then also pray for Dylan. All right. Okay, let's turn our Bibles tonight. Mark chapter 10. How's work going, Maria? Oh boy.
Sometimes I work it by myself with 45 patients.
45 patients.
And just me to take care of all of those for all night. Spain, not just me, but the other two co-workers also working like that. So it's very difficult to know. And we haven't been praying. Sarah, we have been praying. I don't know what's going to happen.
Okay. Okay. Let's pray for Maria and Sarah and the other co-workers. And how's Lois Fossbender doing?
She's doing great. She had a few episodes of blood.
Yeah, the blood. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think you understood who called her. She's that who called. So they don't want to send to the hospital.
Sure. Okay.
Thank God she stopped and she should be better right now.
Good.
Yeah, the episode didn't come back yet, but she had like 3-4 episodes of
the yes.
Blood. Yeah.
Okay.
She's doing great. Thank you.
All right, let's pray for Lois Fossbender. She's my old 4th grade teacher at Christian school. She's there. And so pray for her. She's in her 90s.
Yeah.
So let's pray for Lois. All right, and Dominique, how's work going? Okay. And Mike, what's that?
Mark
chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Mike Snuffin got called in tonight, so pray for him. And all right. Mark chapter 10 and verse 17. Mark 10 and verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to look into your word tonight. We pray that you would speak to our hearts. Help us to meditate on it, to grow in it. We pray that you'd speak to us in any areas that we need encouragement in, or exhortation, or reproof, or rebuke. Lord, that you would just meet our needs tonight spiritually. And Lord, we thank you for bringing us through the week thus far. We pray for safety for each one, and for all these different requests. We think especially bring that fever down, that she can feel better quickly. Pray for Trisha and Evan as they go to leave tomorrow morning for North Carolina, that you keep them safe on the roads there and back. And we pray also for Dylan, that you'd bring him back to us soon, and for Dawn, this new visitor, that you'd help her to come back and visit us again. Pray for Lois Fossbender with these blood episodes of coughing up. And Lord, we pray you just put your healing hand around her Lord, we know she's in your hands. She knows you as her Savior, and she's ready to go at any time. Be with the family as well as they take care of her. And Maria and her co-workers, Sarah and the others, as they try to take care of all these 45 residents, Lord, we know this is a big job. Pray you'd send in the right staff that can work alongside of them, Lord, that you'd bring in more laborers to help with these patients, Lord. We pray that you would just draw them in, and most importantly, that they can be Christians so that they can help with the spiritual needs as well. And if they're not saved, help Maria and others to be able to witness to them. Pray for Dominique at her job, for the rest of us at our different fields of responsibility, that you just bless us and guide us. Thank you that Tim's here tonight. You just bless him and his mom on her birthday, and bless this time in your word, Lord. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. What's that? No, you're in here. You're in here. No, no, you're in here. What? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Look behind you. Well, then we'll have you go up and help, Tim, so you feel more comfortable. No, no, no. We all are attending tonight. All right, Mark chapter 10 and verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running. So here we have this young, rich young ruler who came to Jesus. He didn't come to him by night. He came during the day. And he came running. Matthew doesn't have that part where he was running. Mark is the action gospel. You can think of Mark as the drama guy. He captures drama. He captures different spiritual battles and different things in a very neat way because he loves to see the excitement around Jesus. What's that? Mark 10, 17. Yep. And so here Mark says he came running and kneeled to him. Now, it wasn't kneeling to worship him, but it was kneeling in respect and saying, "Good master." So he recognized that he was a good master or a good rabbi. But let's see if he recognizes that he is the good shepherd, the good rabbi. Let's see what happens. "What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." Okay, so he right away, this man asked the right question. He says, "What can I do that I may inherit eternal life? How do I get to heaven?" Notice here in verse 21, or 23, Jesus said, "How hardly they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God." Okay, so inheriting eternal life and going into the kingdom of God, are they different things in the Gospels, or are they the same thing in the Gospels? No? Inheriting eternal life and getting into the kingdom of God, are those two different things or the same? Good. They're both the same. So when Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Kingdom of God is at hand." He's saying, "Repent, so you can get into the kingdom of God, into God's family, to go into heaven." Now, the kingdom of heaven in Matthew is slightly different. The kingdom of heaven in Matthew is the millennial kingdom, which the Jews were anticipating, especially the disciples, but they didn't understand that Jesus was going to delay before he'd set up the kingdom of heaven, 1,000-year reign. Okay, so Matthew is different. Talks about, remember, who did Matthew write to? Well, who was his primary audience, Matthew? Israel, to the Jews, okay? Notice the very beginning of Matthew, what does he start out with? He starts out with the genealogy of Jesus Christ through Joseph, his kingly descent. And then he starts right out with Joseph and Mary, how God brought Joseph and Mary to to be together, but not married until Jesus was born. So here, and then Matthew chapter 2, the king, the wise men came to worship him as king of the Jews. Okay, so all through Matthew, you see over and over again, points to the Jewish people of how Jesus is the king of the Jews, and he is going to one day set up his millennial kingdom for 1,000 years, as it says in Revelation and in other places. It talks much about the millennial kingdom in Matthew. But Mark is writing more to who? He's showing Jesus as the servant of all. Luke is the son of man. Yes, and then John is as the Son of God. Okay, so they all have different reasons for why they write, and also slightly different perspectives. Okay, so once again, Mark is interested in this excitement of Jesus' ministry. Okay, so here we see, why callest thou me good? Jesus said, there is no good but one, that is God. Okay, so who did he think he was addressing? The rich young ruler. Anybody know? Some thoughts on this. Who did the rich young ruler think he was addressing? No, he said, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Yeah, Carrie? Okay, yes. Okay, the rich young ruler is probably a Pharisee himself, because the Sadducees didn't believe in inheriting eternal life. They didn't believe in that whole aspect. So as Matthew Henry's commentary John Gill's commentary, they both said most likely this rich young ruler could be a Pharisee. And so he's asking the right question, how to inherit eternal life, but here notice he doesn't quite see. He's noticing that he's the prophet, and he says, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. So Jesus wasn't saying, I'm not God. He was reminding this rich young ruler of what? He wasn't saying, I'm not God. He's saying, there is one good, that is God. What is he reminding him of? That God is the only one who's good. So if you're observing me to be good, then put the two together. You know, Jesus is telling him, put the two together. Okay, you are saying I'm the good master. Okay, you need to now fully bring that to its logical conclusion and its right conclusion that Jesus is God. Verse 19, thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. Okay, so Jesus goes through some of the Ten Commandments. Verse 20, what does this guy say? What's his response? I talked with three different people today sharing the gospel, and all three of them said, I know I haven't kept all the Ten Commandments. What'd this guy say? Is that true? Not one person. All these have I, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Now, Jesus could have immediately shot him right down and said, no, you haven't. Remember when you were 7, I saw you do this. Remember when you were 10, you did this. You know, Jesus could have pointed out specifics. But what does it say? Verse 21, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Here Jesus, He is fully God and fully man at the same time. In his flesh, he loved this guy. He immediately had compassion on him. His Jesus' heart of compassion was moved toward this rich young ruler. Why? Because he saw his pride, but also his, he was trying anyway, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. Okay, so what? Instead of arguing with him, saying, no, you haven't kept all the Ten Commandments, let's go down each one. What did Jesus say? Which did he point out? Covetousness, yes. That's the ninth commandment. Actually, is that the tenth? That's the tenth commandment. He points out one of the very commandments and says, okay, you say you don't covet. One thing thou lackest, go thy way. And whatsoever thou... Notice Jesus didn't say, yes, you have. He didn't agree with them. He pointed out the one that he was not doing. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Okay, so here, in order for this guy to get saved, what was an idol that he had reared up, besides the fact that he's unsaved, but what was the one thing keeping him from coming to Christ?
His wealth.
His wealth. He was trusting in what instead of Jesus?
The material thing.
Yes. He was trusting in his stuff. So he didn't want to come to Jesus because he didn't want to give up his love for his stuff. Sadly, many people are in that boat. They love their possessions so much. Their boat, their house, their car, their job, their whatever else to get them all this wealth, and they don't want to give it up to get saved. Because that would mean they'd have to repent of their whole mindset of living for stuff and living for money. Wait, I don't want to repent of my greediness going after this money. You know, I don't want to repent of that. And believe on Jesus because I don't want to give it up yet. Well, see, that's what the big issue is here. Any comments, questions so far? Anything you want to say? Possessions keep so many people from not only getting saved, but then many Christians, keeps many Christians back from fully serving the Lord because of all their stuff. Well, like I have my vacation home, so I have to justify, leaving, going to my vacation home and not serving God and all these. And so keeping unsaved people from getting saved, Christians from serving the Lord properly, so Jesus addresses it. Verse 22, and he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Here this man was so close. He asked the right question. He was so close to getting saved. But the one thing he wasn't willing to give up to be saved was his covetousness for his stuff. So Jesus then comments on it. Verse 23, and Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them to trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? So here we see tonight that that number one, we don't want to lack anything in the eyes of Jesus spiritually. If one thing now lackest, if we're lacking something, then we're not saved. We're lacking giving up a certain sin and coming to Jesus as Savior and Lord, then that's sad. It's keeping us from salvation. Number two, if we're already saved, if you have trusted the Lord as your Savior, then it's important to not let them creep back up into our lives. Not let the idols creep back up in. So, possessions can become an idol to anyone, to Christians and non-Christians alike. Number two, we see that riches, yes, riches are temporary. That's good. Yes. And to not set our heart on stuff. Okay, don't let your possessions rule you. We have to make sure we rule our possessions. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, we can let our stuff take over us, right? If it's taking over our life, or our space, or what God wants us to do in church, we can't, because we've got all this stuff bogging us down, or this stuff, stopping our functionality. Then we've got to see it for what it is, stuff, which I got to get rid of. I heard a good sermon by a pastor out in California of Baptist Church, Dr. Treber. He said he's gone through different books that really helped him in his life. He really liked first book that he really, really liked was Matthew Henry's Concise Commentary. And then the next one is E.M. Bounds' book on prayer. But he says every year he goes through his books, and he's got a lot of books. He says he goes through them every year and weeds out the ones that are not good, that are not helpful, not edifying, not going to keep on the straight and narrow path. He weeds them out, throws them out. So that way he doesn't have new evangelicals and others who are trying to take Christians away from God. He doesn't have those books in his library. And so it helps keep his library from getting too big. I thought that was good advice, weeding out every year, once a year, and every March he does that. So I thought that was good advice. I did that a couple weeks ago, just got rid of some of the junk books. Okay, so verse 20, otherwise, if you keep everything, it takes over. And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, there's two possible ways that people help comment on this. One is that there's this door in the Middle East. There in Israel, there's a small door in homes called the Eye of a Needle. It's a small door for, I believe it's for animals or something. It's interesting. All kinds of people have it. And they call it the Eye of a Needle. The Eye of the Needle. And a person can't fit through it. And so one commentator said, well, it's that little door in houses. But otherwise, that would not make as much sense as what it truly is. How big is the eye of a needle?
Very small.
Very small. So, you know, you have to put that thread through the eye of the needle in order to sew anything, right? Okay, how hard is it to get that thread through the eye of the needle? Very hard. A lot of times you have to wet it with your spit, right? Then get it through there. What's that? What's your trick, Dominique? You lay the what? Oh, okay. So if you hold the end of the okay. All right, so you hold the end and lay the needle right on top. Okay, so that's one way to do it. Okay, so the eye of a needle is very small, that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Okay, and so we see that is very hard. Verse 26, and they were astonished out of measure among them, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And I believe one of the new versions try to distort this one. They say they say that instead of hard for rich people to enter into the kingdom of God, they try to say that it's hard for anyone to get into the kingdom of God, and they distort other passages to try to say, but no, this is the only place where Jesus says it's hard to get into the kingdom of God if you trust in riches. Who then can be saved? Apparently the disciples knew some wealthy people, right? Did the disciples know us? So, some of us, maybe, you know, we may have some possessions, some things. But here, the disciples said, well, then who can be saved if it's hard, for a rich man to enter in the kingdom of God? Verse 27, and Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. So don't think, oh, well, none of my rich friends are ever going to get saved, so I'm not even going to try, I'm not even going to bother witnessing to them. No, don't, Jesus is saying here, no. With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. We should go to the rich as well as to the poor. We shouldn't bypass anyone's house. Okay, well, they've got a big house that's, you know, it's a 10-bedroom house. I think I'll just go to the next door. They're probably not going to get saved. No, we can't think like that, because God can do something that we have no idea of. There's a less likely chance they'll get saved, but they can still get saved. They can still get saved. With God, all things are possible. So we need to give the gospel out to everybody. Verse 28, then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. Peter said, well, Lord, we've done what you're asking the rich young ruler to do. We've done that. We left everything and followed you. You know, we had a relatively lucrative fishing profession. You know, Peter owned his own boat. It wasn't like he had nothing. He owned his own boat. He was doing pretty well. And we have left all and followed thee. What does that count for? Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's. But he shall receive what? Verse 30. How much are we going to get back if we leave maybe a wealthier life we could have had for ministry or for the sake of the Lord, so we don't get bogged down with it and don't leave church? What is the Lord going to give in return? 100-fold. Now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. So Jesus said, hey, you know what? It may be that you're going to give up so much for the Lord. You know, it's, what do we do with our unsaved kids, you know, that don't know the Lord yet? And it seems like we're losing them to the world, and they're not getting saved yet. And it seems like, oh, are we on the wrong side? Should we go back into the world? It's just so we can get a little closer to our children and, you know, just so we can have a little bit closer bond with them. Should we go back into the world so we can have a little closer bond with our unsaved family or friends or other people, or so we can have a bigger house, or, you know, compromise a little bit on our convictions so we can have more possessions? What is Jesus saying here? No. No. Don't go back into the world, because I'm going to give you 100-fold more than you would have if you went back into the world. If you were not saved, guess what? I will give you 100-fold more than all that. Why? Because the world does not satisfy us. The family that are unsaved, and if we try to pretend like we're not, well, guess what? Those relationships aren't going to be any closer because they're going to be shallower. You think about it. If we try to act more worldly just to be with our worldly children or our worldly parents, we try to act more worldly like them, what are we going to actually profit them? we're not going to profit anything. We're going to be a stumbling block in their way to get saved. They're going to say, huh, you're a Christian and you act just like me. I don't want what you have, you know. And they'll never come to the Lord. But at least they have the opportunity, since we're a Christian and we're going to church and we are doing what God wants to do. At least now they know what we stand for, and they know that Christ is better than what the world has. So here, don't ever fall into the trap of the devil's thinking that, well, if I just enter in back into the world to help get closer to my kids. Nope, Jesus says, you're not going to gain anything, you're only going to lose. But if you be faithful to me, I'm going to give you 100-fold now in this time. You know, we've all gained extra relatives by being in this church, right? We have more aunts and uncles, so to speak. We have more brothers and sisters, so to speak, right? Why? Because we're all brothers and sisters to each other. We have more kids to hug and pray for and laugh with and cry with. And we have, you know, more people to impact. And we can see potential in others in the community. We say, hey, come to my church. Hey, you can come and hear about Jesus. And guess what? They'll help you a lot. They'll help you out. They'll be a friend to you, and they'll be a brother and a sister to you. And you know, and so we can invite them here for the Lord. And the Lord said we're gonna receive 100-fold. So there is blessings now from serving the Lord, not just in eternal life, inheriting eternal life. He said that we'll receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses, okay. Brethren, sisters, mothers, children, and lands with persecutions. That you never know how the Lord's going to bless you. You know, my mom, she was in the ministry, and her husband passed, my dad, and she thought, okay, what am I going to do now? And she had to live in the basement of the parsonage for a long time, but 5 years, and then she met a man that was in her past a long time ago. He lost his wife. She lost her husband. And they got married, and now she has a big house, you know. But I notice a huge thing with her. She doesn't hold the house real close. You know, some people, they live for their house, or they live for their car, or they live for their possessions. Guess what? She's been in both worlds. She's been in the poorer world. Now she's in the richer world. Guess how she holds her stuff? Very loosely. She doesn't think twice about the house. She says, okay, it's a nice house. You know, she uses it for ministry. She uses it to help people. She uses her stuff to help people. She uses her little bit of income to help people. She has been in both worlds. She's been on the poor side. She's been in the more well-to-do side. And she, you know what? It hasn't fazed her, because she sees she still needs to use it for the Lord. And that's the attitude we have. And I'm not putting my mom on a pedestal. She's a sinner saved by grace just like the rest of us. But we need to have the right attitude about our stuff. That our stuff can't own us. Just because you may want a big house, or you may want a better car, or you may want a better living situation. Guess what? That's not going to solve all our problems. That's just a change of environment. You move, they've done studies, you move really disobedient youth from the ghetto, they put them in a nice, beautiful house, they say, okay, this house is yours, you know, you have everything, and they give them all the food they could ever want, they give them everything they ever want, they give them money, and guess what the house ends up looking like in about 3 months? Ends up looking like a bad situation again. Why? Because the house didn't change them. They were still the same people that was always in trouble, always making wrong decisions, always on juvenile detention and all these things. They just put them in a different environment. And they thought, well, surely they'll change now because they have a, you know, no, they just made the place they were in a trash mess, you know. So you can't, the environment should not change us at all. We need to be who we should be for God, no matter if we're rich or poor or in between. We need to use it and realize we have to use what we have for the Lord. It should not change us. And so we need to hold things loosely. Don't think it's, oh, that's mine, and I'm not ever going to let anybody ever use it and touch it. It's mine. If we have that kind of grip on our stuff, that stuff has a grip on us. We are not using our possessions. Our possessions are using us. And we're the losers in that process. We need to have a loose grip on anything we have. You know what? This is mine for a time. When I die, guess what? It's going to all go to somebody else. You know, I need to keep a loose grip on everything. And that's what the rich young ruler would not see to do. He couldn't see to do that. The disciples, on the other hand, they did it. They said, hey, what's this fishing boat? What's this business of fishing? What's this money that I have? What's, you know, they had, Peter was married. He had a family. He had to constantly be away from his family. You know, especially during those 3 years of being a disciple, he was with his family for probably half the time, and it was with the Lord for half the time. So you think, well, Peter, you know, he had all the time. No, Peter didn't have all the time in the world. He had to balance his home life as well as his and get rid of his job and become a disciple. So Peter had to make those decisions too. So we are not the first ones to have to make these decisions. Every Christian has had to make these decisions in every generation. And it's time that we recognize that, hey, my stuff is on loan from God. I'm going to hold it loosely, give it away. Hey, if I can't use it, I'm going to give it to somebody who can. If I don't need this, I'm going to let someone else have this. Hey, if so-and-so needs this, hey, it's more blessed to give than to receive anyway. Here, why don't you take this? I haven't used, you know, take it. You know, we need to hold our stuff loosely. Why? Because one day soon, we'll be going up to heaven to meet the Lord, and we'll be glad for everything we've done for Him. And Jesus wants to give us 100-fold. So let's be willing to receive the 100-fold now. If we're not willing to receive the 100-fold blessings now, how many Christians are not receiving the 100-fold now? Because they're holding on to the worldly things. You know, oh, I got to hold on to this. Jesus says, wait, I've got so much better for you over here. Okay, I'll let it go, Lord. Okay, and then we receive all the people that He's put into our life, all the houses, the brethren, the sisters, the mothers and children. You know, how are we going to have many houses? We can only have houses if we recognize the fact that we have open houses with all the believers that we know in their homes. Wow, we have open homes over here. Let's help our Christian brethren in the church and go to their house. Hey, I have an extra house over here because so-and-so in the church lives there. I'm going to go and be a blessing to them. We've got to realize it's not just our house. We have houses. We need to be a blessing to other people's houses where they are, other Christians. So that's part of the houses there. Okay? And lands. We have other people's lands because they're Christians too. Okay? So let us remember we're always going to have persecutions. There's always going to be people who don't like us because that's part of the Christian life. And let's take them with the Lord and pray for them. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. So let us not have the world's mindset about things, possessions, family, everything else. We need to have God's, Jesus' attitude about I want to be last so I can be first in the Lord's eyes. Let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time tonight to be reminded of the eternal perspective that everything the world values is backwards. That all the possessions, stuff, money, big houses, big cars, all those things are actually making people miss heaven. Making Christians shipwreck because they're living for the stuff and not for Christ. Lord, help us not to be shipwrecked in our own Christian lives. Help us to hold our things loosely and give to those who have need and be a blessing to others, Lord, that we may have Your eternal perspective in all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's break up into our prayer groups. We have about 15 minutes to pray, and then the kids and teens are coming in.